Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here it is, the 14th of January of 2020.
Mm-hmm. Are you having a good...
The funny thing is, I've noticed as I get older, I don't make the mistake on checks or writing out the date.
Well, the problem is, or the reality is, there's so many other ways to pay for things. Who uses checks anymore?
Well, I had to write a date down today for a deposit.
Well, deposits, you never try to make a mistake on. But I have a blog I write every day for our clients, and I'm still having trouble doing, you know, when I put the date line on top every single day, it's 2019. I got to correct it again, but haven't made any errors on checks. But that is a problem. What is that? What is that about? What is it? Just habit?
Yeah, routine. You get into a routine, you can't break it that easy.
Well, it's like our Tuesday night show with our listeners. They have to listen on Tuesdays. If without a Tuesday night show, what would they do?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Wouldn't be good.
Nope. Let me tell you what's happening so far. Some of the things we're going to be talking about this evening. We have a trade deal signing party going on in Washington, D.C. with the Chinese delegate here. And with the
signing party. Is that where they bring out the million pens?
Yeah, million pens. And, you know, they give away the pens because it's, you know, oh, I got a pen from that. And they have dinners and they have lunches. And, of course, we'll talk about this a little bit, but there's a little bit of a heel on the throat of the Chinese once again from the United States the day before anything actually gets signed. We'll talk about that. New highs keep on coming for the markets. Earnings season has started. First day today with earnings from a lot of the major banks coming starting to this week and then tomorrow more banks coming in. We have new brain teasers this week and the answers to last week's. Let's see, markets. We're still going up. All news is seen as good news, even though we saw last night, for example, the futures crumble midnight throughout the evening. It started picking up throughout the day again. And, you know, as the world wall of worry crumbles, no more problems. So starting to move up. Now, I want to mention something. Let's just get this this point here. I am a big Rush fan. Do you like the band?
Rush Limbaugh?
No, back to that again. Rush, the Canadian rock group.
Why?
What do you mean why? They're fantastic. Three guys.
Well, apparently you think so.
Three guys put out the same amount of energy as ELO that have like, I don't know, 100 people in their band. And if you didn't know this, we're going to have, I'm laying down a special moment to remember Neil I always call him Neil Peart, P-E-A-R-T. He was the drummer, probably the best drummer ever. And his name is actually Neil Peart.
You should get a automatic Canadian citizenship for talking like this.
They are the best. I've seen him at least five times. Someone in the chat room was asking me when I saw them first. And it was, you know, somewhere around 1980. And I'll never forget, I was at a small theater in New York City for one of the concerts. And I went somewhere and I came back down a door and I went in the wrong door and I ended up like 15 feet away from Neil Peart. I'm going to call him Peart. I can't take it. That's what I've been calling him for 30 years. Right there in front of him as he's doing a drum solo and as this gigantic fully, this drum set that is wrapped around him starts lifting off the ground, turning slowly around as this guy is wailing on the drums. It was an incredible moment. You need to listen to their music. He's a great.
So did this drum turning thing make him better?
No, it was just the cherry on the cake for the drum solo. It was unbelievable. It really was. Listen, after the show tomorrow, whatever, look up Neil Peart drum solo. Watch this guy play. He's out of control. Truly, I think one of the best, the greatest of all time for drummers.
Really? You think he's better than Ginger Baker?
I think so.
Yeah.
Check it out. I mean, he does so. And he's an incredible lyricist. And I think he was fighting brain cancer over the last 3 years. He stopped doing concerts. I took my son to a concert about like 6 years ago, and that was pretty great. But anyway, a little memory and moment for Neil Peart. And don't forget, write this down. Go look at a drum solo. You'll be amazed.
Yeah, I'll go check it out.
All right, we have a special PSA. You know what a PSA is, right?
Yeah, public service announcement. Yeah.
Those of you looking for a job, Taco Bell is hiring, and they're hiring managers. Now, you may say, who cares, right? They're always hiring managers.
Why don't they they have people working there. Why don't they promote someone?
Maybe they're promoting from within, but they're looking for managers, and their starting salary, $100,000.
To run a Taco Bell?
Yes.
Huh.
So Taco Bell says it's going to test higher salaries in select restaurants in the United States, Midwest, and Northeast. And will also try to a new role for employees who want leadership experience but don't want to be in the management position. Current salaries for general managers at company-owned Taco Bells are about $50,000 to $100,000, $50,000 to $80,000, according to the company. So I mean, that's a pretty good piece of change to be a Taco Bell manager, don't you think?
I think it's a gimmick.
What is this test all about, in your opinion?
I think it's just for publicity.
Oh, more publicity.
I mean, they got some from you right there. Boom. They must have sold 10 tacos just because of what you said.
Get a craving to go to a Taco Bell. Well, there's always a craving. I prefer late night. If I was to choose late night foods, I'd either have White Castle or a taco from Jack in the Box.
Oh, didn't you already complain about tacos from Jack in the Box?
Not complain. I love them. I mean, that greasy, oily mess that they are. I love it.
Oh, my God.
They're disgusting, but fantastically disgusting.
Weren't you complaining about that taco when you were reviewing the Burger King taco?
I didn't review the Burger King taco.
Well, who did? Somebody did.
Not me.
Huh.
If you are a taco aficionado, the Taco Bell taco, I mean the Jack in the Box taco probably doesn't actually fit the, it's more of a fried empanada.
It's not even a taco.
It's like an empanada.
I don't know what it is.
It's just a bean filled.
It's greasy.
It's inside this lettuce that they fry, and it's not even fried at. It's not even fried at a level that crisps it up. It just gets all the oil inside of it. It's so good. Really is. All right, on to the politics of the evening. One part. We have another part coming up. We have a campaign update. Cory Booker dropping out. He's done. And let's see, Michael Bloomberg said the campaign has now officially ended. His campaign has officially ended. I think this is good. They've ended its relationship with a company that used prison labor for making phone calls.
What, does he hate prisoners?
Well, first of all, I think it's really interesting that there's actually, a prison that allows prisoners to make outbound calls.
Yeah.
Doesn't that seem a little weird?
Well, you know what it is. First of all, they have a computer on the front end. There's no dial on the phone. The prisoners can't actually make a call. All they can do is talk into the phone. They probably just use a headset. It's probably not even a phone. And it's all done by a machine, and they have no control over it. I don't think it's as weird as you think.
Do they have these pumped into their cells, like just a headset, and you got to just put it on?
Oh, that'd be cool.
You know, every cell just has
so they can work all day and all night.
Yeah. Making probably like $1 per day. So Bloomberg ended this.
Yeah, probably like $1 a day. It's a jip.
Right.
They should pay him a real salary. Let him do that work.
Listen, do you want to be making license plates or phone calls? Which one? Choose. That's what the show. Or work in the linen area. So according to the Bloomberg campaign, they said that we don't support this practice and we're making sure our vendors more properly vet their
subcontractors. So hold on a second.
Yeah.
So Bloomberg.
Yeah.
Unknowingly had these people working for him. So this is giving us some insight into the kind of president he'd be. He wouldn't check on anything. He's just let everything go, whatever. Yeah. Okay.
It probably said, you know, listen, find me an outbound calling feature that's not automated, that has humans on the end, and get the cheapest one possible.
Yeah, well, they're all automated, so that's not going to happen.
Well, automated, not a recording.
Oh, you mean no robocall?
Yeah, no robocalls. Just get somebody that find the cheapest that you can that speaks English at least reasonably.
Yeah.
I don't know. The whole thing is ridiculous. So, but they're now, there was, I guess, a reporter called in and said that they found out that they use them and they're not going to do this anymore. So I don't know, maybe they'll go for some other kind of, probably go to the Philippines.
Well, I'm in the target audience. I mean, right now they're doing most of their advertising in California. Yeah, so I see nothing but Bloomberg ads. I see Bloomberg, Tom Steyer.
Oh, Steyer. Biden. What's with Steyer?
That guy's who knows? He's just an egomaniac. Talk about egomaniacs.
He doesn't smile.
Can't smile. It's impossible.
Yeah, something's wrong with his muscles maybe. But you don't feel like there's no endearing qualities to when he says anything. You know,
there's nothing endearing about that guy.
Not at all, right? It's just a guy that's kind of like cut and dry telling you, I made all this money selling insurance or something like that. And now I'm going to do something
for me.
Yeah, now I'm going to do something because I had this horrible career ripping people off, making billions of dollars somehow in the insurance industry. And, you know, now I'm going to, I need to turn over a new leaf. And he first started his campaign, well, pre-campaign, was all about lambasting Trump. That's how he started.
The beginning of his campaign was nothing but impeach.
Right. So now he's turned into trying to figure out some kind of platform, but it's just not good. And then, Bloomberg, who I thought would have a shot in all this, just also can't smile.
Oh, if he smiles, it's a grimace. He's advertising heavily here. I was surprised he didn't get a phone call. But it's not anything that's like, it's really not, it's just boring. He's got nothing to offer. Except he got apparently fired when he was 39. That's his latest ad. Michael Bloomberg was fired when he was 39. Then he made something of himself.
Yeah.
Who cares? I don't care.
So watch out for the ring, ring. Hello. Mr. Dvorak. Yes. Would you accept a collect call from the Santa Fe Correctional Facility for a Bloomberg message?
Yeah, that's funny.
Earnings. We have major financials reporting this week. All beat the estimates, and revenue, except for Wells Fargo, came in subpar. Actually, Wells Fargo came in a little bit light, but the major ones, JP Morgan, came in above expectations by 21 cents a share, and it was the best year of any bank in history for profitability last year.
With less revenue.
They came in, JP Morgan came in with above and above.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Wells
Fargo. I thought going into the earnings season, I thought that JP Morgan was overdone to the upside with regard to their stock price. And they'd really have to do an amazing job of beating all sorts of numbers, the net interest margin, NIM and NIM, net interest margin levels, their earnings, their revenues, credit card numbers, delinquencies, all this stuff. I thought they were really going to have to do something spectacular to move the needle. They did. They did a pretty good job. They were up about 2.5% for most of the day. End of the day, down about 1.5%. This is very similar to what we see usually with banks, and that is that as the numbers start to come in, everybody's all giddy and, it's exciting and all that. And then about a week later, they start to come down a bit, and then they level off, and then we'll have to see the next catalyst. But usually, people get too excited. Wells Fargo came in shy, about 17 cents a share under estimates and under on their revenue, which I think makes a lot of sense considering what people think of this bank after all the shenanigans they pulled.
I am stunned they're in business.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Citigroup came above estimates by 7 cents. I think we have Bank of America and Goldman Sachs tomorrow. So those are big ones. Also, United Healthcare is coming out tomorrow morning. So you have Goldman and United Health, which are big Dow components coming out tomorrow morning. Because if you look at Goldman's price and now, healthcare's price, they're in the, 200-300s. And that is a major potential for a mover on the Dow. Delta Airlines beat by 31 cents, one of their best years also, climbing back up, I think, and reaching all-time highs. So far, so good with earnings. Here's some interesting news. Remember the Nextel phone walkie-talkie thing?
Yes, I was always impressed with that device.
It was a little annoying.
Even though it wasn't a true walkie-talkie.
No.
It was not.
Two-way radio.
It was not person to person, but it went through the, because it went through the cell tower, but it went through another a secondary system that made it seem like a two-way radio.
Right. And it was a little bit annoying because I remember it always used to have this weird, obnoxious beep when calls came in or out, you know, or when beep. you click the button, as my recollection. Well, it seems they're back. The concept. Samsung is introducing the Galaxy X Cover Pro. These companies just keep on coming out with phones.
I can't imagine how they must have an R&D department over there in Korea that's just the size of the Apple campus. I mean, it's phone. I mean, I've never seen anything like this.
It's amazing. They just keep on. Everything's Galaxy something or other. It's very,
very
confusing.
If you've seen one of them, my son has a brand new one of the newest of the new. They're really nice phones.
Yep. I don't know if the pictures are actually better or if the screen enhances it to such a degree. I told you I was at a concert one time. I was about 15 rows back recently, and somebody had a Samsung phone, one of those big ones, and they were videoing the whole time. It was such a great picture. I just watched her phone. she zoomed in on everything. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. I was just watching the phone through the the concert through the phone. But yeah,
the world's coming to an end.
This is a smartphone with a push-to-talk button that initiates a chat using Microsoft's Team app. So it's a joint effort between the two tech giants to get their mobile technology in the hands of more workers who spend their days and nights, they say, navigating hospital hallways, supermarket aisles, and airplane cabins. I don't know why they have to put this out that people have to be walking through a hallway of some sort or an aisle to be utilizing this phone. I'm not sure what picture they're trying to paint there.
I don't know. It sounds like they don't know what they're doing.
But there are apps on like the iPhone and some of these other smartphones that you can open it up. You have pre-programmed people, you click the button and it's a walkie-talkie. Which, by the way, I don't know how much different that is from just dialing their phone.
I don't see the difference at all. I think it's a gimmick.
Yeah. Apple news. President Trump is calling out Apple to unlock the iPhones of the Florida terrorist. He's all pissed off, saying that Apple should unlock it. It's a terrorist. It's a terrible thing. And Apple's like, well, we can't do that. There's a security profile, and we have certain rights of, we start doing that. Where does it end, right? So the question is this, what do you think? Is this something that Apple should do in this case because it's a terrorist? And then where does it end?
Well, I don't think Apple should, and I don't think they will, but I think they've already done it.
So they're talking the talk.
This is bull crap. This is just to make you think Apple's a good guy. Oh. Like, there's no way that Apple's not, because they already did with some other incident some time back when all of a sudden it miraculously got opened. Then they credited some other operation for some Israeli intelligence or something. I think Apple does this all the time. But why would they admit it?
They won't. So you're thinking that they did it behind the scenes and they're like, no. We're not going to do it. But somehow they slid the information or they gave the name of the guy that can do it.
Or something like that. That would be the normal way of doing it. It seems to me that's the way you do it. This is like you've seen police dramas where the guy says, I can't show you this file. And he puts it on the desk. And then he says, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be back in 10 minutes. And then the person goes and looks at the file and then puts it back. I mean, that kind of thing. I mean, it seems to me to be artificial. I'm just guessing. I have no proof of this. It's just the way things probably actually work.
All right.
Apple's not going to be the bad guy and let a terrorist go around shooting, killing people.
Well, not only that, didn't they just export or take out about 21 other people that had in the special Saudi training incident with the.
I don't know. I don't know this story. Whatever you're talking about.
Well, in the Pensacola, I think it's Pensacola. I don't know if it's Pensacola. Anyway, where this happened, there was another 21. People of Saudis that were doing some kind of joint training in the same military base. And they went through their phones somehow and found some other ties to a variety of, terrorist organizations and rhetoric that was going on that was possibly anti-American. And they just took the whole lot of them and shipped them out. You talk about that with Adam. Yeah. Hey, speaking of Adam, No Agenda, that's on Thursdays and Sundays at 12 p.m. where a breakdown, a dislocation, and a commentary about all the news that you really need to listen to. It's a great show. No Agenda with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. Climate change is back in the spotlight. Larry Fink, who, I don't know, you know, have you ever watched this guy?
No, I don't think so.
He's the CEO of BlackRock, you know, the biggest ETF manager out there. He just seems, I don't know, a smart guy, but somehow I used to like what he was talking about, but now he just seems to be talking his book. He seems to be just simply so insincere, and just everything's all about just getting more money into these assets, which I guess is his job, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But at the same time, it's just something, I don't know, doesn't sit right these days with me, with him, regarding him. Now, he said he believes that the evidence of the impact of climate risk on investment portfolios is building rapidly.
What does that mean?
Well, he thinks that there's going to be, you remember we talked a few weeks ago or maybe a couple of months ago about this whole new tide rising with ESG? Remember the environmental, social, and global? It's environmental, social, and governance, where companies are going to be looked at for their environmental footprint, their governance in terms of the corporate board of directors and maybe the succession planning, as well as their social outreach and what they do, and you get a rating. And then those companies that are better on the scale potentially could have a better long-term investment for people to be putting their money towards. And this is a whole thing.
So in other words, you now invest based on if it's a good guy or not.
Right.
You don't invest on whether the company's going to make any money, which is what you normally do.
I mean, they do fundamentals, but this is becoming one of those things that, you know, you want to feel good about the company you're investing in.
Yeah.
You know, I got to feel good about it. It's got to be a company that, you know, is doing things that I believe are right, like climate change and carbon footprint and, you know, making sure that they're not selling cigarettes to people that are too young or maybe have some kind of other product that's cancer forming. And this is part of the process now for analysis. And it's becoming very, very fast. Because one of the things that's happened is that there are several companies that are now putting out ESG ratings and a breakdown, a very complex and complete breakdown of the ESG components so that analysts can then use that. So what he thinks is the entire index market, which now is the S&P 500, the Russell 1000, 2000, 3000, NASDAQ, all that, is going to see a significant change as many of the indices are going to exclude companies with poor ESG and climate practices.
What's a poor climate practice if you're a corporation?
Let's do an example. Would maybe a trucking company versus one company, car company that is only fossil fuels versus another company that's maybe electric only. One would be better than the other on the climate practice. Well, I'm not saying this. I'm telling you what they're thinking on the climate practice level. Maybe you have companies that are factories that are creating chemicals and then maybe having to, you know, seal them up in 50-gallon drums and put them underneath the ground for the next 150 years till they disintegrate if they ever do. And another company that maybe has a better way of cleansing the byproduct. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying. I just think it's bogus.
Well, the problem is that now you may all of a sudden see companies, we talked about this, companies either doing their best to catch up because they want to be included in these indices or these indices changing dramatically. Because what's going to end up happening is companies like BlackRock, which are passive investors for indices, you got to really understand what's going to happen. They're now going to create an index that is an S&P 500 index with a climate change positive button, if you will.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen is a lot of money is going to shift into that. Therefore, they think that they're going to forcibly put companies on notice that they have to change in order to be included.
Yeah, I know what they're up to.
Yep. They're going to hit the pocketbooks of the companies is the point, right?
We'll see.
Yeah, that's what they're going to try to do. So keep your eye on this. We talked about this before, and I really think this is a hot button. This is kind of like not the same, but this is like, this is going to be a branding on companies moving forward. Their ESG.
Yeah, put an energy star on each one of them.
Exactly.
Put it next to the logo.
Exactly.
How many people go out and buy energy star products anymore?
Nope.
Well, it did make a change. Most of these products that are out there are Energy Star compliant because technology changes over time. It just so happens that they comply.
Yep.
But it's not like anyone looks for it.
No, it's not like I'm going to the store going, okay, you know, what's the ingredient on that? Is it Energy Star compliant on that particular product? I don't think so. So whatever light bulb is cheaper. But I mean, with light bulbs, they're probably all Energy Star compliant, right? At this point.
LEDs.
Yeah. Student debt. Liz, she's at it again. She says that she's going to bypass Congress.
She's lost it.
Well.
She's lost the plot.
What would you think about a Warren Sanders ticket?
That would never happen.
There would be like an implosion of the markets in the world, right?
Well, there'd be that, but the two of those would never be on the same ticket. And it was a dumb ticket. You can't have two people from the same geographical area on tickets like this. These things are well thought out. And you're not going to have Warren Sanders or even Sanders or Warren. It's just not going to happen. It's just not nonsensical.
Yeah.
And then she's like a lunatic. I mean, she used to be just a middle-of-the-road type Democrat that was pretty sensible. Now she wants to kill all student debt with an executive order, which is what you're talking about here. Which would really upset a lot of people who actually paid their debts. Do they get a refund?
Yeah. Uh-huh. We're talking about $1.5 trillion.
Which goes immediately into the national debt.
Right.
That's great, too.
And I think more important than just this whole idea, she's going to, you know, the financials of it don't make sense. The moral hazard of this is staggering. It's just outright unbelievable. Because now you have people that would say, well, I'm not going to pay for college. I'm taking out a student loan, and hopefully one day we'll have another schmuck come into the office and relieve it. College costs would explode higher.
Yes, there's that issue.
So this is like big amounts of dumb. This is the most dumb. In government news, the phase one trade deal is going to be signed tomorrow, as I said. And what I think this is, I don't understand this tactic. And I know you're probably going to be able to help me with this because I really don't know. I'm dumbfounded. So we have the Chinese delegation that came in. They get wined and dined. They have the party. They have the dinners. They have all this. We're going to have the signing ceremony, which nobody knows what's in it so far outside of, I don't know, five people, it seems. And, you know, we're going to be possibly, they're going to be buying some more soybean. Like now it's 20 billion a year, not 50 anymore. So it's 20 billion a year, and they're going to buy some manufactured goods. And they're going to, we took the currency manipulator off of them 2 days ago. And then today, just one day before, when they're there, probably while they're eating lunch or something, there's an announcement that Trump says, you know, we're going to keep the tariffs that are currently on through the election. Why would you do that? I mean, are you just trying to demean and degrade them?
I have no idea.
I mean, this is not the first time this has happened either. This has been a constant program of giving with one hand, taking back with the other, smacking them and saying something nasty about them, but yet saying, oh, we're going to get this done. I mean, they're here, and then what you do is you just knock them and say, you know what? Well, they may do this, but it's going to take a while for the phase two, and we're not going to do it till after the election, which I don't even know where's the political motivation for that. There's got to be some.
I don't know. I'd have to look into this. I have no idea. This is completely baffling.
Yeah, and again, it's the House is going to be voting. It's moving on. The House will send impeachment to the Senate. We're going to vote on the management process of the impeachment trial tomorrow also. So lots happening tomorrow. I don't know. It looks to me like I think there's going to be a bit of a thud after this phase one comes out and we see what's actually in it and what's not in it. And when it's just more of a commitment to buy and to make sure the currencies aren't manipulated in either direction and all that. So who knows? Boeing. This is another stock that you have to wonder how it's holding up so well.
I am completely baffled by this.
Boeing.
This looks like the short of the decade to me, but I'm not seeing any evidence that it is the short of the decade.
No, down
this
from,
company is in some sort of trouble.
They delivered the lowest number of new orders since 2003 and delivered 380 jets last year, hundreds fewer than the year prior. And they have this global grounding of the 737 MAX, which now is being problematic. We've had just recently a couple of downgrades on the debt of their suppliers, Spirit AeroSystems as an example. There's a threat of a downgrade of the debt of Boeing. Boeing's going out and trying to get a $5 billion loan lined up to pay off a lot of the lawsuits that are going to happen from these accidents. And at the same time, the new orders are, again, very, very low. And yet the stock is trading at like 330, which is down. It was up last year 2%. And it's only down, I don't know, 15% from its high.
I don't know how it's hanging in there like this.
I mean,
it just looks like it's baffling.
I guess
it's in the same to get. Apparently, the stock's managed by the same people that manage Wells Fargo. I don't know how they keep these things propped up.
Well, I think one of the things is that Boeing does have a lot of orders that are in the pipeline, so they're ready to go. But the amount of money they're losing here. So everybody's looking at the amount of money they're losing. Eventually, the 737 MAX is going to be back up. The orders that are out there are going to be manufactured and delivered. It's just going to be a little bit of, you know, sometime in the future.
If I was a carrier right now, I'd cancel all my 737 MAXs. If I was Southwest, who only fly 737s, I'd just order some of the more of the 800s or 900 series, whichever the newest one was. And then everybody else should just buy an Airbus plane. This 737 MAX is a white elephant.
Well, let's say, though, you're in line and you expected that your order was going to be ready, let's just say January 1st. But yet, because of this, the work stoppage and all that, it's going to be, you know, this held up. You don't cancel the planes that you have almost ready to go, because if you go in line over at Airbus, you're going to be back a number of years till you get your delivery. So I think that's a big issue.
Go to the boneyard and refurbish some of the old planes that are sitting there out in the Nevada desert.
Oh.
I mean, there's got to be some way of getting around this.
I mean, I don't know. People just love
it. You know, one time I flew in an antique. There was I was on a Delta flight, and it was a 727, and it was an old plane. It was like a really old plane that had been completely refurbished and put back into brand new condition. And it had everything was wood, and I was stunned by this plane. It was so pretty inside. And I asked them about it. So, yeah, they've done this to a few of the antique planes, and they fly them as some sort of, I don't know, as a gimmick. But it seemed to me this 737 MAX thing is just a disaster. Wait till Spirit Airlines goes out of business and buy up their jets.
Oh, there you go. I mean, they're also going after Boeing, too. I mean, that would be the interesting thing if we do see a lot of orders being canceled and refunds being given. But there's also been, I mentioned it was downgrades on debt for some of the suppliers, but we've also seen just yesterday a merger of two of the suppliers. So the suppliers are definitely hurting. This is very reminiscent of what happened during the car crisis back in 08, 09, where nobody was buying any cars. And that really just flowed down right into the suppliers that really got hit pretty hard. And the other thing that's there was something else going on in the airlines. Suppliers, planes, I don't know. There was something else interesting about this. Let's see, mergers, I don't know. Something about Boeing too. I don't know. I'll have to think about it, and I'll probably remember in a moment.
I think some new players need to come along. I think Lockheed maybe should go back into the business. They can make planes. They can make passenger planes. They've done it before.
Yeah. But, I mean, and then you had the whole governance issue with the CEO stepping down, then not getting his bonus, and it's a mess. It's just a mess.
That's yeah, and the memos that came out talking about how plane was, the 737 MAX was designed by a clown.
Yeah, when will their family drive on it or fly on it? Marijuana stocks are back in the highlight in the news again as New York Governor Cuomo on Wednesday highlighted adult use cannabis legalization as one of his 2020 priorities. You know, this is going on in a lot of states right now because they think it's going to create a lot of taxes. Of course, that's the whole point of this, right? And we saw this
the real point, yeah.
In Illinois and all that. His proposal includes forming an office of cannabis management to regulate medical adult use and hemp programs. So this is ensuring that social equity and social justice needs are met, whatever that means. So he's, if he's going to do this, I mean, people got pretty excited because they thought, it's a big state and legalization will be great. I put a chart together on the show notes for episode number 489 of the MJ ETF. There's a marijuana. There's a few different ones you can look at, but the MJ holds a bunch of the marijuana stocks in there. And I thought this was pretty interesting. Stock of MJ, the price went up to about 45 back in the mid part of 2019.
Yep.
And then rolled right over down to about 17 in the beginning of 2020.
Now it's crashed.
Now it's crashed. But if you notice, you see that little arrow I drew on there. It's kind of basing pretty well here. So it's a nice long
looks
base.
Like it, yeah.
So it's kind of interesting.
I'm putting it on the list.
Oh, okay. All right. MJ, check that out. The other stock chart I wanted you to look at, because I just thought it was really interesting. It's actually something I'll have on the list as well. Virgin Galactic. This is a holding company that is planning on doing space flights. You know, this is Richard Branson. It's one of his companies. Space flights for individuals in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, some people who got too much money and too much time on their hands.
Look at this chart, though. This is a weekly chart. This is a weird chart. Going back to 2018, look at it, the price didn't move from $10.
No, it was basically moribund. It was dead money at 10.
Is that the weirdest stock chart you ever saw?
Over a year. Yeah, and I don't know how far back this goes. If you put the chart back further, it probably goes on for a number of years.
Now, this is it.
So it's just a dead money operation.
Yeah, dead money
and
operation.
And then it goes nuts.
Then it goes nuts. It goes down from about, goes up to about 12 and a half, tops out right about 13, then just smokes crashes. Down. It crashes down to about 7. And then somebody said, hey, bargain. And they started driving it back up where it finished today at 14.18, an all-time high.
It looks like a pump and dump.
Yeah, I like the stock. Like my little,
do?
Yeah, I do.
Ugh, pump and dump.
I like it because it could be one of those next gen types of, okay, what do we have for the next generation of technology outward looking, you know, in space travel. People may kind of hop on this.
I think you've been seduced by the glamour of the Florida arena and its space launch pads.
Could be. Maybe. We're at that time of the show. I want to mention that, of course, we can't do it without you, the listener, and helping us with some of the things that we have to do on the show. And your donations are very helpful. Please go over to dhunplug.com and donate. Start of a new year, start of a new time for anybody that maybe hasn't given so far to feel really how good it is to give. And you can go over easily, donate whatever it is, maybe a sequential weekly donation or just a one-time little yellow button that says donate, pretty much gives it away, on the DH Unplugged website. So please do that. All right, we're going to pass by the Close to the Pin cup. I did get an email from Matt. We'll be sending it. Actually, and we did put his trophy together just this week. So when that does come in, we'll send it out. Oh, we have a fake meat update. We should have some kind of... Yeah.
Ah, yes, your beat, fake meat.
Yeah. Interesting what happened this week. Very interesting, actually, over the last several days. So the Impossible Burger said that it plans to launch meatless ground... I can't even get this out of my mouth without gagging, but said that it plans to launch meatless ground pork and sausage... as the company turns its focus to international expansion in 2020. Now, what does meatless ground pork and sausage have to do with international expansion?
If this is a question I should answer, or is it some rhetorical thing, or do you know the answer?
It's a rhetorical question that I'd like you to answer. I don't know. I don't understand.
I don't see that unless they're selling to China.
Meatless ground pork. Maybe.
Ground pork? Well, even though the Chinese don't really eat ground pork that much that I know of. The sausage, yes.
I mean, they're going to try to pass this off.
I have no idea what it's got to do with international. It's got nothing to do with international.
Give us the Germany is bratwurst. Forget it. Not happening.
No, the Germans are not going to put up with this for 1 minute.
Yeah, give it to China. They're not going to deal with it. You're going to give it to Argentina to replace some of their chorizo and all that? Not happening.
Seems unlikely.
Yeah. No. So not happening. The Impossible Sausage will debut later in January at 139 Burger King restaurants in Savannah, Georgia, Lansing, Michigan, Albuquerque, New Mexico, Montgomery, Alabama, and Springfield, Illinois in the Impossible Croissantwich.
The Impossible Croissantwich. Yeah, so it's a croissant with a bunch of fake meat stuffed into it. That sounds delicious. Oh. I think I can't imagine any place that'd want to get a croissant other than Burger King.
Yeah, this is not, sounds terrible. This sounds terrible.
Meanwhile, the shares are way up as usual.
I don't mind, well, something happened. So there was a combination of that. There was some other news from McDonald's about them expanding their trials with the Beyond Meat burger. And since that, and if you look at that stock chart, it's pretty interesting. It dropped from about 250 down to about 70 something. It closed today at about 119. It actually got halted today. It was up to, we actually bought into this, I think at about 93 and closed the position at 108, 109 in a day. So that was a nice little move. But
yeah, I'd say for 1 day.
Yeah. So then it went up to about 134 today and then it crashed right back down to 120. So there's some interesting things happening. I think with the addition of the McDonald's news and the Panera Bread news. Now, here's where things are starting to get frightening. So what we have is McDonald's adding to their menu, right? Through these Beyond Meat burger thingajiggies.
Yes, they're not going to drop the Big Mac.
Right. We have Burger King adding a croissantwich and adding an Impossible Burger as an alternative. So again, not taking anything off the menu. Panera Bread is going the other direction.
One of your favorites.
I hate it. Hate it. I can't stand that place.
You hate Panera Bread.
So disgusting. So horrible. So horrible. I haven't been there in a while. I should check it out, but it's horrible. It's like you with your Chipotle. Although you've never tried Chipotle.
I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, okay. I've tried Panera Bread. But anyway, they're taking a third of its meat offerings off the menu and potentially replacing them with plant-based alternatives. Now we're getting into a kind of a scary time. I just can't get Soylent Green out of my head, but that's another story. The thought of taking off these meat offerings and now replacing with plant-based, I mean, is this going to be a thing? I just can't imagine that. Are they doing it for profitability? Because we know it's not better for you.
They cost more.
But it's not better for you.
It's not better for you and it costs more. How's it more profitable?
The whole thing is insanity. I really don't understand any of it.
Yeah, I think just a publicity stunt. They'll take something off, put it back later.
Maybe. Canada is blaming the U.S. for the downing of the 737. Did you see that?
Yeah, a lot of people have done that.
So Trudeau
actually, they're blaming Trump.
Well, blaming Trump. So I'm sure there's plenty blaming Obama somewhere. Somehow, somewhere. But if the U.S., Trudeau said, if the U.S. was not stirring up this conflict, then there would have been no rocket fired and the plane would have never been shot down. Which is logical. I mean, there is some logic there. But stupid.
Well, if they'd never built the plane, it wouldn't have been shot down either.
That's correct. That is correct. Or if they never had rockets somehow. So a lot of blame to go around. I don't know if there's going to be, you know, if anybody's going to get pissed off at anybody else, because there's a lot of feathers getting ruffled all the time with all these leaders. They seem to be a different set of leaders these days. They seem to be just all, you know, take everything personally.
You should listen to the last No Agenda show. There's an alternate explanation for the rocket downing of the plane.
Oh. Does this go with the idea that the U.S. was really in cahoots with Iran to kill Soleimani?
No, it doesn't, actually. It's not, but it's the kind. It's that same kind of thinking.
Hmm.
But it's not that, no. It's different.
How do you think up this stuff?
This one's Adams. And he didn't think, I mean, he thought it up or extrapolated, but he got it from we got it, actually both of us, We got it from an intelligence source.
Oh.
So
from them.
Little, and then following up on it, it seems that maybe he's right. So,
yeah. All right. No Agenda, Thursdays and Sundays. And you can also find it on iTunes and on the noagendashow.com, No Agenda Stream. Plenty of places to find that show. So we have one more PSA I thought would be important because this just came out tonight. Yamaha Corporation has warned people not to try to squeeze inside of musical instrument cases after reports that Carlos Ghosn fled Japan concealed inside one of them.
Ghosn, I think it's pronounced.
So you think this is going to be like this is going to turn into the ice bucket challenge?
Well, everybody seems to think that this was some sort of a like a stand-up bass, you know, case, and he had to get in there. This is a big, giant aluminum box.
It was a instrument case like you would put maybe the tom-tom, you know, the big drum, or maybe some
the bass equipment. Drum. It was a big giant box. It right. was not small.
Yeah. But it wasn't like a baritone sax case, you know, or a cello. But Yamaha is saying don't try to squeeze inside of this. I guess they were getting some people doing this for some reason, trying to see if they could do this. I would assume it's probably going to be very difficult to breathe after a while.
I would think it's impossible to breathe. You could probably be in there for 5 minutes at the most.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a look at what time we have here. All right, we'll get into the point here.
This is DH Unplugged's Brain Teaser.
So ridiculous.
The worst.
This makes me laugh at this dude.
But better than nothing.
So bad.
All right, here's the brain teaser we had last show, which was first I throw away the outside and cook the inside. Then I ate the outside and threw away the inside. What did I eat? Answer?
Did you get this?
No, I didn't get it.
Yeah. What's the answer?
Corn on the cob.
Makes sense.
I don't think it makes sense. What? I think this is misleading.
Well, you threw away the outside, which is the leaves.
Yeah.
You cooked what was inside of that.
Yeah, then you went back and ate the leaves?
Then I ate the outside of what was left, the remainder, which was the corner.
Oh, it doesn't say that. It says then I ate the outside, which is what you just threw away.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
I think it's misleading. I think it's a very poorly structured, I'm lowering the score to a C.
Oh. Mm. All right. Well, we have an easy one for this week.
All right.
This one's easy. I think it's too easy, to be honest with you. Some people may, Here's new this week.
I mean, I got it already just looking at it.
Yep, there you go, right?
Yeah.
What five-letter word becomes shorter when you add two letters to it?
Yeah, it's obvious.
What five-letter word becomes shorter when you add two letters to it? All right, so this is an obvious one, so therefore that's going to get a C also, or a D, or an F.
I'm going to give that one an F.
Oh. When I grabbed
it, I didn't even get through the whole sentence before I figured that one out.
You know, it's funny because when I saw it, I'm like, I'm not sure, but I was kind of busy today and I really couldn't dig up something really good. Ah, I'm a failure. I'm just a failure.
It's just, well, maybe you are today with this.
All right. What are we doing now? Oh, we're going to one more. Okay, here we go.
This is a game that we play. It's not a solicitation to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation of any kind. Nothing on the show should be considered investment advice or a recommendation. If you choose to invest in any of the stocks mentioned, you should know that it may carry risk, along with the risk of a loss of principal. You should also seek out professional financial advice for your particular situation. We assume no risk as these are not to be considered recommendations. Horowitz Company, myself, or John C. Dvorak may invest in any of the securities mentioned, and we'll disclose that on the website under the weekly stock picks section. You can go to dhunplugged.com and see all the names we discuss in the segment, along with the performance information from the date discussed, as well as any additional important disclosures.
All right. You take the list.
Well, we're getting to the point where we're having all green. Now we got mixed.
Yeah.
Because I got carried away by picking three stocks. One of them did okay. Well, dead money okay. I have most of them on here. So let's start. Summit State Bank, descending triangles up 10%. Advanced Drainage Systems, which was an insider's play on my part, is another pick of mine, up 22%. Schnitzer Steel, kind of dead money, down 3%. Discovery Communications, which is another one I picked, which is based on insiders, is dead money, at up 1%, 1.2. Then we have Cinedigm, which is one of my penny stocks that I grabbed at 75 cents and may have been suckered by a pump and dump. That's a possibility. Mm. It's down 6%. Pinduoduo. is another dead money stock's gone nowhere one way or the other. That's yours. Kodak Sciences. This is a Baker Brothers pick, which is always a winner. It's up 5%, as you I would expect.
Kicked off.
PBF. It was kicked off. It's got kicked off because it got a whip. It got kicked off with the 5.1% left over. PBF Energy, which, by the way, I'd go back and put money back in Kodak. PBF Energy, up 5.8%. That's a picked last year, which is an insider's thing. Thermogenesis Holdings, another big insider's pick, got kicked off before it could even do anything. And also Town Sports.
But look at it today. Look at what it closed up today. It's up 11.5% today.
Yeah, this is what I should have given it a little more leeway.
Yep, exactly.
It was a good pick. Mm-hmm. It's a good pick, but I got whipsawed. Town Sports International Holdings, done. It got kicked off. That was yours or mine? I guess it was mine. Then we have the triangle descending again. I'm using that more than I used to. Simon Property Group is up a little bit. And now we got you picking Virgin Galactic, and I'm picking the marijuana. MJ.
So, and your reason for MJ is New York?
I like the chart. I think it's a bottom feeding.
Chart. Okay. Chart.
Pure and simple.
Chart.
Bottom feeding.
Oh, we're going to. Bottom feeding. Okay. Got that. There was something else about that. Bottom feeding. Delete, delete, enter. What's going on there? Let's see. Got that. Oh, no. This isn't right. Oh, I know why. Control C, Control V. There we go. Okay. Yeah, that was up 2.6% today. That's interesting. And we're doing the usual stops on this, 10%, right? I don't know. I just think on this other one, which is $13, should I go 15%? I'm going to go.
Mine's less than, mine's what, 17?
Yeah, but that doesn't move as much. You know,
it's an ETF.
Yeah, so it's like I'll take the space travel
you
with the 15%.
Take 15 if you want.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm doing it. I am doing it. All right, what else do we have to talk about? Anything else?
Oh, nothing I can think of unless you have something.
No, we're going to wrap it up a little bit early.
No, we were overtime last show, so this is fine.
I'll mention that again, once again, no agenda on Thursdays and on Sundays for a three-hour extravaganza of incredible of incredible clips and jingles and just insights. And don't forget, there's something new that's going on right now, and you got to look this up on YouTube. It's called Animated No Agenda.
Ah, yes, quite a good product.
Yep, Animated New Agenda, hysterical, by the way. Check that out. And
probably better than the show.
it's a hand-picked by, what's her name, Buchanan.
Cherry-picked by Jennifer Buchanan.
Jennifer. What else was I going to mention? The Disciplined Investor, of course, over on Sundays. You get a taste of what's going on with the market. Some great guests. We had an interesting guest this week on this is actually kind of interesting. Buffered ETFs.
What does that mean?
That's what I said. It's a synthetic product that looks to limit your downside to a number that you choose, 5%, 9%, 13%. I think it's even a 30%, and limits your upside as well so that you pick a particular month, let's say January.
Why would you want to limit your upside?
Well, if you think that you want to gain something, but you think there is the possibility for a downside, there is a potential for, you could at least not have losses if you think something's going to happen.
Oh, so in other words, you get locked in.
Yeah. It's a takeoff on what they did with these fixed annuities, these equity index annuities, and with the variable annuities with the downside protection riders that they have, and they're doing it with ETFs. I'd like to see how these things work for a while.
Yeah, well, is there any that you can look at or we can put on the thing here and follow?
They're really not because, I mean, you could go look at the Innovators Buffered ETFs. There's a website with a ton of tools on it to do some speculation, following them, to look at what maybe if you want to do a cross-section of different months because they have, I think they're quarterly. There's four of them. There's like a January and April. There's four or five of them per year. And you can do it on the S&P 500. I think you should do it on the Dow. You could do it on the NASDAQ. You could do it on international markets. It's all option-based synthetic returns that have this calculation.
Gee, whatever happened to the good old days when people actually invested in companies?
Right. Nah, not so much. But anyway, that was an interesting show. We talked about that, and I tried to get to the bottom of it. I had more questions after I finished than when I started, I think, because I'm still wondering how this exactly works in all sorts of conditions. It's very new. It's a very new product. And I also don't like these products. They're called structured. There's another one called structured notes where they, you know, you have this weird, I don't know, where you put yourself in a box. Now, you could, in fact, get out of it whenever you want. It is fully liquid. But still, then I had a lot of questions. And when I tracked some of these over the last year, it looks like it just did what the market did, which is fine, but with a cap. So, interesting. All right, well, we'll talk again next week then.
Okay, see you Tuesday.
All right.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.